Welcome back at Bowser Chevy Studio B today. Into the Deontay Johnson matter we go. News breaks yesterday that the Ravens went out and got him. And, you know, I take some shots at Deontay, and I honestly do believe that whatever your judgment of him is from here, sometimes it's you've just worn out your welcome and it's time to go. And I do think that was an addition by subtraction move. I also think that as things have played out here, it may have been wise for Omar Khan to keep Deontay Johnson, to use him as collateral to make a trade for an actual receiver. I'm beginning to wonder a little bit about Dante Jackson after the last game too. I think he's been pretty good here, but we'll see when better passing games, better receivers, better quarterbacks come a-calling after the bye here. But by and large, I definitely understood and supported the idea of getting rid of Deontay Johnson. It wasn't working anymore here. Having said that, I think he's absolutely an asset to the Ravens. I mean, he's a pretty productive receiver. He's nobody's number one, but he does get open. He can make plays. We saw proof of that here. The Ravens saw proof of that last year. Remember the touchdown in the rain? Remember that one, Limits? I mean, I think they've helped themselves here. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, and I feel like the reaction to this from a lot of people was, you know, everybody knew Deontay Johnson was going to get traded. But once they saw Baltimore, everybody saw Baltimore, it was a collective, okay, back in the area. Because, I mean, for as much as we joke about the running backwards and not going after the fumble and sometimes the lack of effort and fighting with Minka or whoever it was in the locker room, Deontay Johnson was a Pro Bowler in 21. I mean, he had over 107 catches. He had 86 grabs in 22. Like last year when the quarterback play was unstable, I know he had that one year he had no touchdowns. He's still a very productive wide receiver and a very good number two. And Baltimore is going to find a way to use him effectively. Watch him catch a touchdown against the Steelers in one of these games, and it's going to be a big play.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that he's a good player who's going to help them. Like, I don't even think that's an opinion. I think that's flat-out fact. He was playing on this team, Carolina. And after a quiet couple of games to start the season in which they got absolutely decimated by a combined score of 73-13. Is that right? Was it 73-13? 40-20 is 60, and 13 is 70. They lost their first two games 73-13, Limits.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even realize it was that bad. He was only targeted. He caught five balls. Then since then, 8 catches for 122 yards against the Raiders. They win. This is with a veteran quarterback, mind you, when they put Dalton in there. 7 catches for 83 yards and a touchdown. Has a quiet game against Chicago and then comes back with a couple more good games, or at least one more good game. I don't know. I've lost the internet again. So he's still productive. There you go. 6 catches for 78 yards and another touchdown against Atlanta, and then nothing against Washington, but it appears to have gone completely south for him there. He wore out his welcome there way faster than he wore it out here. But just look at the numbers. I mean, I don't have any doubt that this is a good move for the Ravens and a problem for the Steelers.
And he's dealing with a rib injury, which, I mean, is it going to be like Davante Adams' hamstring injury? He's just magically okay and back at practice, and that's why he didn't play the last game for Carolina?
I think it might heal itself quickly, yes.
It'll just be automatic injuries. Wouldn't that be crazy if we had, like, automatic injuries that would just heal itself at the tap of, one, like, a button, or you go in for a quick procedure and yes, you're healthy in, like, a week?
Right. He's got as many or more catches than people like Amari Cooper, Cortland Sutton. A couple of these guys have missed some games. Michael Pittman, T. Higgins, he missed a few games. Kyle Pitts, whatever. You know, he gets open and makes catches. That's the idea here, and that's what he's going to do in Baltimore. In that offense, one thing I never doubted about Deontay is he could get open. Which way he would run with the ball, that was a problem for a while. Drops were a problem, things like that. He's a good player.
One other thing.
So now, Go ahead.
One other thing that comes to mind, sorry to cut you off there, Joe, is that you remember the playoff game when Baltimore lost last year, a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and they threw the football too much?
Yeah.
And everybody was saying, oh, you know, Ravens need to run the ball more, be more effective with the ground game. They go out and get Derrick Henry. Does this at all to you make you feel that, and I mean, in some of the Ravens' losses, we saw the same thing. They're not running the ball enough, and they're trying to pass it and be more pass happy. Does this play into that at all by acquiring Deontay Johnson, being more pass happy, even though they're so effective in the run?
No, I think the Ravens know exactly what they're doing on offense, and I don't think that's been the problem when they've lost games. I mean, first of all, they're, what, 5-1 in their last six games, and the one loss was in Cleveland when Kyle Hamilton dropped the ball at the end of the game, and they still almost won. I think they know exactly what they're doing on offense, and I think they'll incorporate Deontay Johnson very nicely into their offense, and I think he's going to be a problem. I think he immediately steps in as their number two guy. Zay Flowers is on his way to becoming a star, I think. He's got 41 catches already. And then you have Bateman. Isaiah Likely is a good player. Andrews is still a good player. They needed a receiver, and they got one. So now what about the Steelers? What are they going to do, and what should they do? I'll give you first crack at that one, City Dweller.
And Baltimore is 9.5-point favorites against Denver. They have the same record, and they're 9.5-point favorites. That's just insane to me. Mike Williams is really the name at this point that comes to mind as maybe the most likely option with the Jets' willingness to trade him because they're 2-6. I'm not head over heels after that move. It would just be okay. It wouldn't move the needle in any regard. Like, I think Deontay Johnson somewhat does, but not on the level of Devontae Adams. Him or Darius Slayton? I was impressed by Slayton. He torched the Steelers' defense. He played very well. I'd be okay if he just stayed in Pittsburgh.
Me too. Darius Slayton, I wouldn't mind one bit. And then Adam Thielen is still a guy that if he's healthy, he caught 100 passes last year. To me, that's a perfect veteran, get open guy against any defense, plays a little inside, little outside. But don't listen to me. Listen to Patrick Peterson, a guy who was paid to cover people for a living. He was on with the PM guys. If you have that clip limits of, I think Andrew asked him about these available guys, who he thinks would work best on the Steelers.
From your cornerback perspective, which one do you think would make the most sense for the Steelers?
In my opinion, I'm going to have to go with Adam Thielen.
Ooh.
Yeah, just because Allen is one of those guys, you can put him kind of anywhere. He can be that slot receiver. I know we got Austin at that, but I feel like Austin is more like a big play type slot receiver. But if you have a guy like Adam Thielen that can manipulate and receive those cause those mismatches inside the numbers, I think that can be a guy that can really help that offense kind of flourish, because you got Pat as a tight end. We all know what he can do, but now you add another element inside where you can move him. You can have him outside, and you can move him inside. And he's a guy who can win one-on-one matchups versus those other guy. Mike is coming off an injury. And who you say, Slayer?
Slayton. Darius Slayton with the Giants.
Yeah, Darius Slayton. I mean, he's been having this kind of up and down year, but for guys who is more reliable, in my opinion, it'll be Adam Thielen, because, like I said, you can move him around in different places. The only thing is he's a little bit older than all of those guys. But to me, he's more reliable out of the bunch. So
I agree with every syllable he just said. I think that would be great. Go get him. And I think the Steelers need another guy. I do. If for no other reason than depth purposes, what would happen if Pickens went down for any period of time? Well, now you have another guy that you can mix in with Calvin Austin and whoever else it might be out there. You're not going to have a true number one, obviously, but I think anything that gives you quality depth at this point at that position is a good thing. Van Jefferson is also, he's playing well right now. He's a blocker too. And might I add, Pickens stuck his head in there for some nice blocks the other day. I was impressed with that. I've been impressed with how Pickens has rebounded from the debacle earlier this season. You?
Yeah, I think it's been better. There were also some run plays that I was specifically watching when I was at the game on Monday. If George Pickens was blocking it, and he wasn't, I mean, the play necessarily wasn't in his direction, not like it was a toss right towards him, but if it was like a run up the middle or run off right tackle, not necessarily blocking that effectively. But did you see the clip of him jumping over a defender and he just falls flat on his back?
Tremendous. It's like a wrestling move. It was great. So you look around the AFC, the Bills get Amari Cooper. Ravens get a guy. Bengals already have guys. Now the Texans will be in the market for another receiver. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. With no more Stephon Diggs out for the year.
The Chiefs went out and seem to have helped themselves. So it's up and down the AFC. I would say it's the Steelers' turn, and I hope Omar does something before November 5th. Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. We'll be coming up on that in a few minutes here. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Hello, big boy. How are you?
Okay, I guess after spending 2 hours in a locker room talking to every single assistant coach known to man, trying to process something, I just realized that not much came out of it. So there's 2 hours of my life.
What was the most interesting thing you heard from anybody?
I thought Pat Meyer was pretty good, saying that basically Broderick Jones just needs to he used the word focus, but he clarified it later. He just needs to be a little bit more on his details. And I pretty much said that the guy is very young, extremely young guy who has not played a lot of snaps in the NFL and in college, and it takes time. And he pretty much, not only did he double down, he made it crystal clear that Dan Moore is his left tackle, and there's no debate over that. So that's probably more of the interesting thing that came out of the sessions.
Well, that leads to a couple of questions. One is, I think I could live with the Broderick Jones mistakes. Yes, he's a young guy, but does he have, is he aggressive enough? Is he
the machismo?
That's, we've had Chris Hoke on here. He wants him to finish blocks more. Like mistakes of aggression I can live with. Is this guy, is he an aggressive enough player?
Well, not right now, he's not. I mean, he looked like that last year. I mean, he looked like he was on that upward track to being a solid right/left tackle in this league for a decade. I mean, sometimes things get in your head like this. I mean, you go into slumps. I mean, offensive linemen can go into slumps just like everybody else does. It's just a matter of cleaning up some things in their eyes, and he'll be okay. He's probably one of the weaker links right now on that offensive line. Now, that doesn't mean that will continue down that path. I still think he has a ton of talent. I just think the very limited snaps in Georgia and the very limited time, I mean, he was dealing with some injury here, that it might just take a little bit more time. I think the worst thing may have happened to him, Joe, was the success he had early last year. Now, we project that to just getting better this year, and sometimes that doesn't always pan out that way.
Yeah, I just wish the get after it was a little bit higher. Like I said, I could live with mistakes, but I don't know, man. So that leads to the other side, to Dan Moore. Is Dan Moore going to sign a new deal here? And if he doesn't, how does this play out? You just move Broderick to the left side?
Yeah, I think so. I honestly find it hard to fathom a situation other than, you know, Troy Fatone, who can't play for 3 years or whatever, his career is over, that them keeping Dan Moore around. I mean, regardless of how well Dan Moore plays, you got a number one pick on one side, you got a number one pick, 20 and 14 is your bookend tackles. Regardless of how well Dan Moore plays, I don't think you can move. You're not going to sign him for a decent amount of money just to be an in-case guy. He'll be able to go start somewhere else, and you add all that together, I find it almost impossible for him to come back next year.
How about the idea of Dan Moore at left tackle, Broderick Jones at right, Fatanu at guard?
No, that's, I mean, I guess you could do that, but I never really thought that much way through that, of if you're going to really want to use a 20th overall pick on a guard. But I guess that's one option you have, considering the guard spot is a little open with who knows how long James Daniel. You would think he'd be out.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to sign him anyways, so he would be out for some time. Mason McCormick looks like he's the guy who's going to solidify himself there, but how long does Sam Alu stay there? Still, I don't think that's number one on their list. They're going to let Dan Moore go and see how much he gets paid. And just like Chooks got paid a decent amount of salary, I guess, to go and start at New England. Why wouldn't Dan Moore do the same thing?
Mark Cabali on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. How about Deontay Johnson to the Ravens? Your thoughts on that? And then, if I may be so bold as to double barrel you, what about the Steelers bringing in a receiver? Who might it be? Do you think they will?
Yeah, it's funny how Deontay Johnson is probably all of a sudden healthy for this week, right?
exactly. He's on the Devontae Adams plan.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to absolutely benefit the Ravens. He's still a very good wide receiver. And Joey Porter was talking about him today, saying, you know, it brings that matchup with the Ravens with a little bit extra oomph to it with Deontay Johnson there. I think, I mean, you could probably call him their best receiver right now. And it's, like I said, it creates so many different. I mean, if you look at the Ravens, they were a team that was in need of a wide receiver, and they were able to go get one. And I think he's still at the top of his game. So I think that's a huge get for them. I think that, you know, that might even be enough to flip the script here and saying that Baltimore is still, you know, not by far, but still the easy favorite to win this division over a guy like that. With a guy like that, now, guy like what the Steelers are going to do? I mean, not many options here, man. I mean, I guess you got Mike Williams out there, I guess. But I don't know. He's pretty much dried up right now. I'm sure they're going to
try to find
somebody. Yeah, I mean, he's the guy who's been on the IR for the past, 7 weeks? I'm guessing he could be a guy. I don't know how close he is to being activated and healthy. He's a guy, definitely, and a guy in Tennessee, too. I forget his name.
Traylon
number
Burks.
Two. Yes, he could be a guy you can think of. I think Omar is going to definitely push to see what he's able to find there, just for the anything else, for some depth here. I mean, behind the starting three right now, I mean, what do you have? You got Andy Isabella, you got Brandon Johnson, you got Scotty Miller. That's not going to really move the needle if a guy like, you know, even Calvin Austin or Van Jefferson gets hurt. So they pretty much have made their bed, or pretty much made a bed. They just kind of tuck it in a little bit here right now in the last week here. And they're going to have to lay in it now because there's not much options out there. I think, like I said, I think they'll find somebody, but you're going to be probably underwhelmed by the guy they bring in.
Percent chance, in your not-so-humble opinion, that Najee Harris is back next year with the Steelers?
Percent chance, 7.
That's it?
7.
Wow.
I mean, I just don't think they would be interested enough. And, you know, it's a two-way street. Is he interested enough to come back after not getting the kind of money or not picking up his option either? You go out there and he's earned the right, every right in the world to go out there and see what free agency offers him. And if he gets, if it was anything like the offseason this past year, it's going to be a decent amount of money. I mean, it's going to be, you know, $6-8 million a year, I would assume right now, if he's on this trajectory. And the Steelers aren't going to pay for that much. They still got to pay Jaylen Warren. I mean, he's a restricted free agent next year, and I think that's something around $3 million. So, and unless Najee really wants to come back and they give him a competitive offer, I don't see him coming back, and I don't see them giving him an offer before the free agency starts where he doesn't go out and realize that, there's other teams out here that might want to pay me.
Why wouldn't they be interested? That's the part I don't get. He looks like a whole new guy in this offense now that you, especially now that you have a quarterback who makes people respect the, what?
They figure that Jaylen Warren could probably do the same type of thing with less money. That's what I mean. A lot of talk today about, you know, from Eddie Faulkner, running back coach, was the scheme of Arthur Smith being able to produce these type of plays and bigger holes. Even Pat Meyer, the offensive line coach, was saying that. So if you take that into account and just interject Jaylen Warren, who's a, you know, pretty good running back himself, for half the price, that's why.
Yeah, it's nice to have two. I don't know, man. He looks different. He's averaging 4.5 yards a carry, and it's nice to have two. I don't agree with you. I think there's a higher percentage there.
Oh yeah, I just don't. I think a lot of things have to come together for that to happen. I don't think that's number one on the priority list in the offseason of let's get Najee Harris. Even if he is a third, the more successful he is, the more money he's going to get in the free agency market.
Yeah, but how much? It's just running back. So even if we're talking big money, it's still big money for a running back, which really isn't big money.
They felt that he wasn't worth $7 million this year, did they?
Right, and he looks like a completely different guy in this offense and now with this quarterback.
So would you give him Saquon Barkley money?
No.
No. Would you give him...
Will anybody give him Saquon Barkley money?
That's what I'm saying. You look at the top five or six free agents, running backs this past year, and they got paid, you know, anywhere between $5 and $9 million a year. And I just don't think that they're willing to do that.
Like
if they were willing to do that, they would have done that in June or May.
I agree with Dulac that they were waiting to see how he fit into an Arthur Smith offense before they were willing to.
That. I think that was a. I think that was an organizational plant, so to speak. And there's nothing against Dulac because all of us were told the same thing separately, which means they wanted that out there of why. And I just don't believe that.
Okay.
I just don't believe that. That they wanted to see what he was. Well, you want to see what he can do in this offense? Go look what Derrick Henry was able to do. Go see what the guys in Atlanta were able to do. You could pretty much get a guess of what Najee was going to be able to do if he stayed healthy. The difference between Najee this year and every other year is basically one thing. He's turning 10-yard gains into 40-yard gains. Is that him? Partly. Is it the offensive line? Partly. If it's the offensive coordinator, which might be about 50% of the reason why that's happening.
Yeah, I also think you have a quarterback who makes the defense respect the idea that he could go over their heads with a ball. You don't have 27 guys at the line of scrimmage like he's faced his whole career.
Well,
I don't
complained
know.
About that. He complained about that the first 5 weeks of the season. I don't hear him complaining about that right now.
No, because it's all changed. I like, especially for a team that claims it wants to be that physical, you know, run-first team, to have two backs, you know. Derrick Henry was signed for $8 million a year. That's nothing. That's less than what Larry Ogunjobi's getting paid to do nothing on their defensive line.
Derrick Henry has a ton of carries under his belt. But let me go to this route here, Joe. It sounds like to me is that offseason plan of the Pittsburgh Steelers of how they wanted to approach this season that you are now agreeing with. You know, run the ball, play action, deep shots, defense, don't turn the ball over.
No,
they're buying into it.
Well, when did I disagree with that?
Probably when Fields was quarterback. I don't know if you were or not. I'm just trying to pick you up.
What's happening here? I don't remember that. But I agree with the idea of having a diverse offense that can throw the ball. Let's not forget that deep into the fourth quarter the other night, they still were passing more than running. So
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I just want an offense that scores, that moves the football. And usually when I look around the league, that means that you can do both, whatever a given night calls for. And
that's because you have a quarterback with machismo.
And you have a running back who is looking better than he ever has. And I just think that creates a different conversation.
But hey, let's worry about next year, man. How about that? He has that machismo.
No, we're talking about next year now, especially during the bye week. We're sitting back and analyzing it. So just because you said that, no, I was going to hit you with this question anyway. What about Russell? What if he just continues to be good to very good and they get in the playoffs, maybe win a playoff game? What sort of tax bracket does he put himself into? I don't think it goes to the 50 million guys, does it? No. Where is he then?
And what will happen? That's a tough one because he's going to be 36 here very soon, and you don't want to commit a ton of money to a 36-year-old. If Russell Wilson is true to his word, and I wouldn't believe that he wouldn't be, his goal is to win championships, right? Mm-hmm. He got a ton of money in the bank. His wife got a ton of money in the bank. I'm not counting either one of their money or not and tell them who needs money or not. But if he really wants to be that guy who is a surefire Hall of Famer, he needs another championship. And maybe he takes somewhat of a discount. When I say discount, you give him three for maybe 70 with that last year being able to get out of it. So you're looking 20 plus, 23, 25 plus a season. I think that might get the job done.
How about the Baker Mayfield plan?
I'm not up on my Baker Mayfield contract, so you might have to enlighten me.
3 years, $100 million, 28 signing bonus, $50 million guaranteed. A little less than that, right around there?
First of all, that $50 million guaranteed probably would not happen for the Steelers. I would do that if you make that last year sort of voidable or you can get out from under it. You don't want to commit yourself to a soon-to-be 40-year-old guy for anywhere 30, 40 million bucks, whatever it is. That probably wouldn't be bad. Maybe three for 100. That sounds good, three for 100. A less signing bonus and be able to get out from under that final year. That sounds like a good plan, but, Omar and the money guy here have not asked my opinion, but if they did, I will bring that. I will say, Joe Stark, you said give him the Baker Mayfield contract, which is a good idea, Joe. Good idea.
Thank you.
Good jumping off point.
If I had Omar on here and he would tell me what was going on, I would. I have you on here with your opinions.
Nobody in this organization tells you what's going on, so.
I know. That's why they pay you the big bucks to come on here with opinions about things. Limits, what is happening with this guy today?
Come on, Mark.
He doesn't want to talk about the future. He doesn't want to give me contract numbers. What is happening?
This is the last time I give you credit for anything. I'm like, I'm going to mix it up a little bit and say, Joe, good idea with the Baker Mayfield. You throw it back in my face.
You're telling me, I don't know. I'm not Omar. I'm not this. I'm not that. Why are we talking about the future?
I don't have their books. I don't know exactly what they want to pay.
I'm not asking you for what exactly they're going to do. You don't know. But we're paying you a lot of money, nine figures, to give opinions.
No, that's pony money right there. But I think that's a good place. There's a lot of ifs attached to that. If he stays healthy, if he wants to come back, if they win, if Justin Fields goes everywhere, you're making me speculate freaking 9 months from now.
Yes, I think those are questions that are on everybody's mind.
I'm singularly focused.
I know. On to Washington, I think, is the phrase. Man, that was good. Do you have there was a rumor around that the leaders approached George Pickens a couple weeks ago because of a call from Todd in Pittsburgh to the PM guys back when George was having troubles. This was his suggestion, Mark. I want to know if this happened.
Does anybody anymore in a locker room, TJ or Cam, come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing?
That sounds like something Christian Kuntz would say in an exact accent.
That is incredible.
What you doing? I'm sure that they have yet to go up to him and say, what you doing?
Yeah, well, maybe if there's another problem.
What are you doing?
May I engage Mark in a game of free association?
You may.
This has gotten a little bit testy today, but that's okay. We like it that way.
You allowed to say that word?
Yeah, I think so in a certain context. Sure. Fan weather brought to you. Do you remember when Chris Snyder played for the Pirates and he was listed on the injury report as having a broken testicle? I didn't know that was possible, Mark. Did you?
I'm sure there's all possibility. I thought you meant Chris Snyder, the fullback or running back for Penn Trafford about 30 years ago that does games on high school games on TV.
He had a broken testicle too?
No. Oh. I remember back in the day that the running back for the Cardinals, Johnny Johnson, had a chest. That's as close as I get into testicle.
Thank you, Mark. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet 29 or 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. High 75 today with sunny skies. All right, a very quick game. Who wins the AFC North?
Baltimore.
Steelers a playoff team?
Yeah, they're in.
Okay, I'm just asking because I've seen them collapse like a wet paper towel in years under Mike Tomlin as well. Just asking, how many wins do they get?
10. That's not really a resounding response from you there, Joe.
No, I'm on to Washington. Cleveland Browns better off without Deshaun Watson, yes or no?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Zach Fraser back in the lineup for the Washington game?
I actually spoke with him today, and I think everything's trending that way. So, yes.
There's another Nick Herbig back for that game?
I did not talk to him. I saw him talking. I do not know, but I would say yes.
Roman Wilson takes one snap this year. I guess that's is it still possible this year?
Yeah. I think he has to be on IR for 4 or 5 weeks. I saw him today. He didn't look like he was limping. So maybe this is one of those wink, wink, nod, nod injuries, right?
So does he take a snap for the Steelers this year?
I don't think so. I think we pretty much saw what we saw.
Cam Sutton, what's his role going to be in 5 words or less compared to Beanie Bishop's? He's ready to go, apparently.
It's going to be slow at first, but he'll take over that spot of nickel.
Wow. Now we've hit upon something, limits. Why would he take the spot of a guy that has 3 picks?
Well, just because he has 3 picks that 2 bounced crazily. I'm not ripping on Beanie Bishop, but he's gotten better. But I think Cam Sutton's just on a different level. I mean, I watched him out here at OTAs, and he was spectacular. So I think he just is a better ball player this time in his career.
That's the first time I've heard the terms Cam Sutton and spectacular in the same sentence.
Come on.
Come on.
He's a smart guy. Cam Sutton is a pretty good football player.
Okay.
Maybe he struggled in Detroit last year.
There's no maybes about it.
Yeah. Well, that's not where they're going to play him. So,
okay, so as a slot corner, you're saying he will be really good.
Yeah, like I said, it's going to take a couple weeks to get him up to speed, jump on that moving train, but I think eventually he'll get back to that form who he was here a couple years ago.
Any good Danny Smith story to leave us with?
Danny Smith, I just tried at the front desk. There's a kind of that double bubble gum that he chews.
Yeah,
so I'm like, let me try this. I grabbed a piece of that. That's the worst tasting stuff I've ever had in my life. Oh, no. The equipment guys are coming after me. I got to leave. No, it's awful.
Right now?
No, they were.
Okay.
Big Cow. Big Cow is a Marshall guy. And Derek, he's the one that looks like exactly like Ben Roethlisberger. So.
All right.
But yeah, that gum, awful. Now, I don't know how he chews it. I had one piece, and my jaw felt like it was going to detach. So that's my best Danny Smith story for today.
Thank you, big boy.
All right. See you guys.